Hey, quality people, Jarvis Gray here, and we are back with another installment of our Best of series. And today I'm really excited to reintroduce one of my best friends in the world of healthcare quality innovation, Mr. Eddie Perez Roberte. So the purpose with today's episode, this is almost just a shout out and an homage to Eddie. If you all follow Eddie on LinkedIn, you'll see that he just made a dramatic change to his entire career focus. I'll let you all kind of do the research. But when I say that since I met Eddie about 6 or 7 years ago at this point, Eddie has truly just been one of those guys that I've appreciated. I've truly loved having in my corner. He is a coach's coach. He's the guy that I could reach out to at any point, ask questions, share information with about problem solving, about process improvement, healthcare, and absolutely about innovation. When I tell you his love, his passion for taking things to the next level, thinking outside the box, facilitating with groups in a way that helps them solve problems at the highest level. Again, Eddie has my absolute just highest level of love and respect as a colleague and as a friend. So Eddie, today's reintroduction of this episode is truly meant to send you to the next phase of your career path with the highest level of success and the highest level of respect. Everybody, again, if you're not connected with Eddie on LinkedIn, please take a minute to look him up. The links are in the show notes attached with today's episode, but you're going to find that he's, again, one of those people that you'll want to be connected with. And you can reach out and literally ask him anything. So with all of that, please enjoy this replay of Eddie's great episode that we did over 2.5 years ago now. So it was so fun just re-listening to this episode, thinking about the conversation that we've had then. But I can't even tell you again, we've had literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of conversations since the original play of this episode. So again, Eddie, thank you for your friendship. Thank you for all of the great advice and insights that you share with me personally as I've been on my journey to grow this podcast, to grow my skills and talents around healthcare process improvement, to grow my business. So, Eddie, I appreciate you so much. And again, I wish you the absolute best on this journey that you're setting out on for your new part of your career. And I know we'll be talking soon, but to all of my quality people out there, enjoy today's episode. And we'll be back next week with another best of installment of the Healthcare Quality Cast.
All right. So thank you all for joining us for another episode of the Healthcare Quality Cast. And today we have my man, Eddie Perez Roberte, on the line with us. Eddie, are you ready to share with some quality people?
Oh, absolutely, Jarvis. Absolutely. Excited to be here. Thank you.
Well, Eddie, we love to start the show with positive affirmations to really get our momentum going. Could you please share a favorite quote or mindset with our listeners, but also share how do you apply it on a daily basis?
There's this poem, and it's in Spanish, so I probably have to translate it, and hopefully I can do it justice. But it goes something like, if you cannot be a tall and sturdy pine that on the summit rises in its splendor, do not grieve for it, be a bush, but among the bushes be the best. And obviously in Spanish it rhymes, and it's powerful because, you know, the way I look at it, for number one, is being grateful. You know, I always try to keep in mind to be grateful for where I am and what I have been given, and also trying to do my best with what I have and giving it my all. So that's kind of like how I apply it.
I'd love to hear it in Spanish if you're willing to share it.
Oh, yes. It says, si no puedes ser pino alto y robusto que en la cumbre se eleva en su esplendor, no te aflijas por ello, sé un arbusto, pero entre los arbustos sé el mejor. So you can see how it rhymes better in Spanish.
Beautiful. Now, Eddie, really quickly, your background is in industrial engineering, originally from Puerto Rico. Could you maybe walk us through your career really quickly? I'd love to hear the story of your career, but then also maybe introduce how you got into quality, your formal introductions, and again, just your career path
Oh man, okay. Yeah. So yes, I am originally from Puerto Rico. I did my undergrad, my bachelor's in mechanical engineering out in Puerto Rico. And then immediately after that went to the cold Midwest. I don't know what got into me, but I went to Indiana to Purdue and to do a master's in aerospace engineering. And you know, after 3 cold winters there, I decided I had it. And then I went down to where it could not be any hotter, to Phoenix, Arizona, to work for Honeywell. And that was, you know, Honeywell had or still has a long pedigree, a long history of quality improvement. You know, everything from quality circles, TQM, all those things. And by the time I got there, they were heavy on Six Sigma and Lean. And so just joining Honeywell, you know, within the first year, you had to get your green belt and you're on your way there. So being there kind of by force, but also it was enjoyable. So I just started absorbing all of that first on the Six Sigma side. And then I decided to gravitate more towards lean. I ended up being in the operational excellence side or division of things, and I just kept growing and learning more about lean. And Honeywell had the Honeywell operating system that we were deploying, so that was a big education. But sometime about 10 years into it. So my wife, what happened, so this is funny. My wife was doing her master's at the same time. We were in Phoenix. We got married. She went with me to Phoenix. And she decided to do a master's in healthcare administration over there at the Arizona State University. When she was coming out of her degree, I kind of ran into or basically stumbled upon the fact that lean was being applied in healthcare. And having gone through my learning experience at Honeywell in lean and continuing to be on that, so I kind of say, hey honey, you know, this is something that could become your niche as you come out of school, and maybe this is something that could help you differentiate yourself. I could help you with, you know, trying to learn more about it. And what happened was funny, because then I started getting really interested in it, in applying lean in healthcare. And I just kept reading, and I started buying books, and I started building a network. And I just had that bugging me. And at some point, I decided that I kind of wanted to use my passion and my expertise for something. And I'm not knocking on Honeywell, or you know, I had all my experience there, but something that I felt like I had more contact with human beings, and that I was doing something to improve people's lives. So I, you know, I decided to go into healthcare myself, and I was blessed to have the opportunity to then work at Mayo Clinic here in Florida. So and then that's how I changed to healthcare. So that's been a kind of like a winding road, you know. Then I did open up my consulting, and I am teaching, and now I'm at Baker. So yeah, it's been a great road, and so that's kind of like how I got here.
No, well, I'll tell you, I am so glad that you are in healthcare. I was trying to sit as you were sharing. I can't even remember when we crossed paths. All I remember is when I first met you, that passion and that energy and inspiration that you brought to me. And again, you were one of the first folks that I wanted to talk to on this show that I've put together now. But I just want to say thank you just for the contributions that you bring to Lean, to healthcare, and to really push this mindset and this movement forward.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, I think we met at the Health Systems Process Improvement Conference a few years ago, and we just kept doing what we do. And I appreciate it, and I look forward to doing more contributions with you as well.
The same here, but let me turn the tone of our conversation just a little bit. And Eddie, what I want to do now is get you to take us back through your journey to a point that you consider your worst moment as a healthcare quality leader, and really take us into the moment help us understand the situation, but also some of the decisions that you had to make to turn that situation around.
There have been a couple, but I can think of one distinctly. I think I still may have some PTSD from it. We were running a rapid improvement event at my organization, and some members were really, really, really resistant to change. I mean, worst, the worst that I have ever seen. And keep in mind that I cut my teeth in manufacturing, doing events and things like that. So it was bad. And then on the second day, it was a 4-day event. On the second day, I had that realization that this may be a failed rapid improvement event. I had that sinking feeling of falling, and I think I have a huge problem with faith, a huge fear of failure. And I think I felt like this was going to be a failure. It was going to be on my shoulders. It was one of the first RIEs we were doing in this organization, and I was afraid that if this failed, then, as we know, the naysayers come out of the woodwork, yeah, emboldened, saying, yeah, see, I told you this wouldn't work here. A part of me knew that the organization, and any organization, has to be willing to have a few fail events. I mean, that's what happens. That's how you learn. But another part of me knew that we were only doing a few of these at a time, and I felt the organization had not built the tolerance to failure yet. And maybe it was, like I said, maybe my fear of failure. So it was a really, I mean, I remember going home that day, either coming to terms with the fact that it was going to fail, or just racking my brain about how we were gonna turn it around. It was a great learning experience in the end. I think we pulled a few rabbits out of several hats. It was not just me facilitating. We had a team of facilitators. We bow out, we got together, we debriefed the day before we went home, we debriefed the next day when we came in. Everybody had some ideas. I think there was even a Hail Mary pass there. Sorry for the football analogy, but there was kind of like a Hail Mary there that we were able, and amazingly, the team kind of self-calibrated itself. So some of the team members that were quiet the day before, allowing some of the resistant team members to take over, kind of came in with some renewed energy, decided to take it a lot on their shoulder to say, no, we are going through this. And whether they decided they were going to help their team members, or just basically tell them, we hear you, but this is what needs to happen. So we changed. The one thing we had to do, we had to be flexible. So as rapid improvement event, we had a structure of different things that happen every day. At that point, you know how they say, plans are useless sometimes. So the plan almost went out the window. We had to come to terms with the fact that this team needed a lot more of the change management piece. So we basically spent a whole new day on helping them get used to the change and all that, and they came out of there with some wins. I think they were smaller than I envisioned, but I think I always have higher expectations. Sometimes I have to tame my expectation, but they still counted, and they were satisfied in the end, which was the most important thing, if we wanted any sustainment out of it. So yeah, it was a dark moment, but we definitely had some learnings from it.
I've been on those rapid improvement events myself, where everything, the entire schedule that you have for the, whatever, 3 days or 5 days starts to fall apart. It can be, when you're the facilitator, you only had one job, and that was to lead them through the event. And when it starts to fall apart, I know exactly how you feel, just that despair that starts to kick in. I love that you guys were able to kind of push it through and have some Hail Mary passes in there. Let me ask, so any huge takeaway, especially for some of our listeners who may be out there facilitating their own rapid improvement events, what are some takeaways from your experience there that could help them push through?
The fact that, different teams have different idiosyncrasies, understanding the team ahead of time. It was a team that we had been working on for some time. We were doing a whole value stream improvement project, but I guess in hindsight, I did not expect that amount of resistance. So I think the big takeaway for me was change. Sometimes I think we, you know, in quality improvement, we build a tolerance for change, and we don't, maybe we lose contact, we lose touch with the fact that for some people, small change, what seems to us like a small change could be a huge change for other people. So we just have to be cognizant of that and see how people react to it and help them through it. You know, to be honest, I mean, to even share something, the person that was being the most resistant at the end of the event, you know, we had some reflections and people around the room and she admitted the reason, she said, the reason I was being so resistant is because I thought you guys were telling, or I thought everybody was basically saying that I wasn't doing my job right. You know, the fact that you were all asking us to change how we're doing our jobs, to me meant that I was not doing a good job. And so basically it was her passion for doing a good job, basically, that was being the whole barrier there. And it was an amazing, you know, I remember there were tears. I'm not exaggerating. Wow. There were tears in that event. But you know, it's sometimes it's powerful that what people go through.
Absolutely, very good, man. I appreciate you telling that story. Eddie, give our quality people perhaps one tool or a tip or a tactic that you found has really worked well to build up that intimate connection within project teams that you've led. What is that tool? And how do you apply it?
Well, if I have to, you know, let's name a tool, I would say probably going to Gemba. But I want to be I want to explain more about that. And what I mean is, like, see for myself and try to thoroughly understand the situation, you know, not as a leader of the area, but as soon as I know, as I am assigned a project, or as soon as one of our team members are assigned a project and we're going to team up, That's one of the first things we want to go and observe. While we observe, I don't know, I'm drawn to people. I mean, and I get my energy from people. So I think that's part of the job that we have. I think if we're not good with people, we are not going to be very successful on this. But when I go out there and when I go meet those teams, I want to get to know the people. I want to get to know their names, their beliefs. How do they, you know, what's their stance or what their position is on the issue at hand, or what we're, you know, kind of start socializing, and then you kind of start seeing who's up for it, who thinks it's a very needed change, who thinks it's, you know, it's whatever it is, they don't think that it's needed, or they think, oh, we've tried that already, you know. So I try to get all those things out in a social way, just having conversations, going out there a few times, getting them used to seeing my face. And one important thing that I think helps me in particular is learning the lingo. You know, every time I go to a unit or a procedural area, or there's, you know, healthcare, and I think every industry for that matter, it's just full of so much lingo. You know, just being able to speak the language of the EMR that your company uses, it's huge, because you can understand them, they can understand you, you can speak the lingo. I don't know, I think it builds a little bit of even respect. They understand that you're not just, you know, blowing smoke, that you really understand what you're doing, and I think they see that, they value that, and they value the fact that you're trying to learn what they do. So that's, to me, that works, but I don't go out. What I'm trying to say is, it's kind of natural for me to wanting to do that, I guess.
Well, and let me ask. So I love your tool around going to the Gemba. That, to me, is one of the most important things anybody can do, whether you're a PI person or quality person or even just a leader for your hospital, for your, you know, healthcare organization. For me, I've always found that when I go to the Gemba, I'm always amazed at how honest and transparent teams can be. And they will show you what's working well, but they will definitely show you what's working wrong. Could you speak on maybe some of the experiences that you've had in going to the game, but maybe even some best practices, like you were saying, just engaging with people is half the battle, but any ways that we can go to the Gemba the right way or go to the Gemba the wrong way?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I think that is the most revealing and the greatest, I think, experience I've had since being in healthcare. It's the fact that how much people really want to improve. And when you're out there in the Gemba, like you said, they will really open up. They will tell you, well, you know, this works, but maybe we could tweak it over here. Or if we had that report that's been broken for 3 months. So, you know, they will lay it all out. And while there might be a little bit of blaming, but you do get a real, real view of the issues and what they're feeling. And if you know, if there's going to be blaming or finger pointing, you might as well know that out front, you know, you know that before getting into, you know, everybody in the room, and because then you kind of start understanding everybody's sides before they get into there. And then, of course, every time we're in the room, everybody's very respectful. I've never had, thank God, and also knock on wood, in healthcare, I've never had an event that has, become a blame game. But when you go and talk to those teams, absolutely, you're right. They really open up. So, as far as doing it the right way or the wrong way, my big thing is when I'm at the Gemba, I don't offer suggestions at that point. I'm not there to offer suggestions. I mean, the one thing, and they even ask, because, you know, they think I'm doing an audit sometimes. And I'm like, no, I'm not here to audit. I'm here to learn. And I truly believe that, and I truly feel that. And so when I'm out there, I'm just thinking, because I've been out in a unit this week twice, and the first reaction is, so how did we do? And I'm like, oh no, I'm not here to judge that. I'm here to learn. I just wanted to see how you guys ran the process, and we were actually observing some rounds, and that was what I was observing this week. But they kind of feel like you're observing them, you're auditing them, that you're. So my main thing at that point is, nope. You know, if I have a question, I'll ask it. For the most part, I just, you know, go along and observe. And one thing is, and I know that's not for everybody, but I don't even take notes anymore. I mean, first I started taking my, but you, I don't know, you show up with a clipboard and people behave differently. And from my standpoint, you know, we all have smartphones now. If there's a note that I need to make I just want to make it, I just grab my smartphone and send an email to myself about something I observe, while there's a little break. But I don't even bring anything to take notes on. And I think it allows me to have a lot more eye contact with people. It allows me to really be there, be present. So, I mean, I think that's what works for me.
No, I love it, man. That is very strong advice there, being present. I like the idea of not taking notes. I will have to get on your level. I love it. All right, Eddie, so take us now to one of the best aha moments that you've had as a quality professional. But again, you know, really walk us through the idea. How did that idea come to you, and how did you maybe turn that into a personal or professional success?
Well, you know, sometimes our worst times are also our the best learning opportunities, right? And the experience I shared about the fail, not so fail RIE, mm-hmm. I think, you know, I already kind of tipped my hand on that, but I think I've applied that ever since. And there was a degree of learning that happened with every rapid improvement event or every event or every project. And it's the fact that what I see as an easy change is, we might see something, well, you just don't use that form, you're going to use this form. But it's like, even when we're out teaching the green belt classes or the black belt classes, we ask people to sign with their right hand, and then we ask them to sign with their left hand, and then, you know, we do all those mock simulations. But then I think we're desensitized to the fact that this is real for people. You're changing one firm to another firm, you're changing the whole way they do what they do. And there might be some of those that feel like, well, what was wrong with the other firm? Why are you making? So to me, and I actually had an emotional intelligence assessment confirm this, that I have very high expectations. And I am, you know me, Jarvis, so you know I'm positive. I am. So positive is also makes me an optimist. And an optimist, sometimes I have this really, I realize that high expectations. However, I don't want to sell the team short. I want them to know what I expect from them. And it's a real balance, because that was what the emotional assessment, the emotional intelligence coach I had told me. It's like, it's great, but you also have to be careful not to do set up some expectations that cannot be met, and then you demoralize the team. So it's a high balance. So at least being aware of the fact that I have high expectations have helped me come to the point where I may have an idea of what the team can get to, but when they get to a place that may not be where I thought they could get to, I'm going to try to evaluate that and say, that still is a huge change. That still is a step in the right direction, and I'll take that. And I will commend them, and I will celebrate them for it, and also put a little bit of a challenge to what's the next step. But I think I don't know that I can call it an aha moment. I think it was a realization over a number of or a long time where, and then this RIE was probably the time where I first, it became apparent to me. But with every event, I always accept the fact that I have high expectations. Sometimes the teams knock it out of the park and they blow through my expectations, which is great also. And sometimes they don't get all the way there, but I do see how getting to where they were, it's a huge improvement, and they celebrate. And the important thing is that they celebrate it. So that's kind of have been my great experience over the last few years, and what I try to keep getting better at is at adjusting those expectations. I don't want to settle, but I have to accept the fact that sometimes my expectations are really high, and that it's okay to celebrate smaller wins with the teams.
That's a great insight. And I think I'm probably very similar, setting high expectations. And what I heard from your takeaway, it's almost that, you still want to place the high expectations out there, but it's the shoot for the moon and or shoot for the stars and land on the moon kind of concept.
Right.
You're still, seeing progress. You're still seeing them, win or take it to a different level, even if it's not the tippy top of where you want it. So that is a powerful revelation, my friend.
And it's a learning experience. I try to grow every day.
All right, so Eddie, what are some changes taking place in the healthcare industry right now that you're excited about, and what role do you see quality professionals playing to promote or support its longevity?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because there's a lot of change happening right now, right? Everything that it's mandated changes. We don't know where we land every time there's a change in the White House, things change. But I am, and one of the things, one of the passions we share, Jarvis, is the passion for innovation. And I am excited about innovation. When I see the application of technology like artificial intelligence, we've had some successes by using like IBM Watson and things like that to digest volumes of information that are basically impossible for a few humans to do it, and kind of predict readmissions and do things like that. So I'm excited about all that. One thing I would like this country, and I say this country because other countries have already achieved that, is the unified health record. And a few months ago, I read an article. I wish I remember who it was. It was one of the big health insurance companies, that they're kind of coming up with something where basically their patients are going to have a unified health record. And I actually am wondering, is this the birth of such a thing? I think as quality and performance improvement professionals, we must keep challenging the status quo. We must keep challenging the systems to get us there. I mean, the way I look at it is, why is it that I go apply for a credit card and Joe Schmo at the bank knows that, you know, how old my car is and how much I have left on my payment for my house and my car and every other little thing, you know, every other little purchase I've made. And it's still secure for the most part, all that data about my finances, yet every time I go to a different institution, I have to recreate my whole medical history. So I think in my mind, that's one huge advantage that we could get to. And, you know, I don't know if this belongs here, but as part of some of the things that I collaborate with people, I did a collaboration, and I'm hoping it will become more, with Costa Rica. And in doing that, I started researching a lot about their health system. And man, they have a lot of things that we would love to have over here. And they have a unified health record, and it's really possible. And they have it in remote areas, you know, people in remote areas. So it's really possible. So I'm hoping that we can get there. And I think as quality and improvement professionals, we must keep challenging every time.
Now, so again, Eddie, I think you're so on point with a lot of what you shared. I think you're correct with, you know, our passion around just innovation, and that's a broad term and a very specific term almost at the same time, but challenging quality professionals to continuously challenge healthcare. I love it, man. That's exactly, you know, that was part of the motivation for pulling this show together, is just to get folks like you on to, you know, help spread the message about different things, different ways to challenge. So you're spot on, sir. Eddie, I'll share this with you too. I am and still coming up with some of the plans around this show. Part of what I am doing is looking outside of healthcare for people who are doing some pretty innovative things, and I will be inviting them on to talk about that innovation and kind of the what if, how can we apply it in the healthcare field. So that's still a growing idea.
I love it, man. I mean, when I think about, and you know, sometimes I tell people, and I think most of us know it, healthcare is 20 years behind the curve, you know, and I was saying that years ago when I started in healthcare about lean and the continuous improvement mindset, and I say that about, you know, a lot of the technologies. The funny thing about healthcare that always kind of, you know, it's very interesting. Healthcare is great about providing, you know, healthcare in this country is great about coming up with new ways of treating patients. And, you know, when you have the amazing, when you, you know, every time I think about transplants and what we're doing with transplants now and the things that we're transplanting now, retinas, you know, who would have thought? So we have a huge track record in healthcare of innovating in actually taking care of people. Yet for everything else, all the other administrative and all the other providing direct care, not related to providing direct care, it's like we are just setting, you know, 50 years ago. So it's a funny, in an interesting way, dichotomy that we have in healthcare. I you know, it boggles my mind.
It's part of the puzzle that keeps folks like us engaged in healthcare, right? Almost.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So, Eddie, let me ask you this. How can the healthcare industry become a more attractive place for ambitious and talented quality professionals to start and grow their careers in healthcare?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question, Jarvis. And I'll tell you, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm struggling with this right now. Right now we're trying to hire. And we've had some changes in our team. We are going to be growing our team. Excuse me. We are going to be growing our team. We have a new chief medical officer. There's a lot of work coming down, and we're looking for some great talent with mainly a lot of lean knowledge. But I don't know. I don't mean just the tools. More like the mindset, the people that can change the culture, people that can influence leadership, and to make ourselves, make healthcare more attractive. Number one, I think there has to be like a concerted effort across the industry. I mean, to kind of open up the gate and say, hey, come in, we need you, we want you, announce it. And I don't think, I don't know if or when that will happen. I think some organizations are doing that and have done that to a certain extent. You know, we have one thought I just popped in my mind is when people are doing publications and presentations and research, we have to include more of the industrial systems and health systems engineers and include them in that will give them exposure to learning and also give other people, hey, you know, wow, that organization had a, you know, an industrial engineer there. They had a, you know, crazy aerospace guy help with that. And so it kind of shows that the organization is willing to embrace that diversity. I think a lot of people look at healthcare from the outside and it looks pretty homogeneous. You know, it's all clinical people in there. And I think we should try every day to change that perception outside of the industry as well.
No, I think that's very fair. I've only worked at one facility where that announcement was going out, like, hey, we want industrial engineers, we want health system engineers. And I would have to contribute that culture to the fact that the CEO was an engineer herself. So I think you're
you
all right. So Eddie, you're doing great. And right now we're about halfway through the interview. So we're moving into what we call the 2-minute drill. Are you ready to tackle some of these questions?
Yeah, this is what the lightning round, I guess. Okay, go.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so Eddie, tell our quality people something about your current role that inspires you to do your best day in and day out as a quality professional.
Oh, this one is going to be easy because I just told one of our team members, we had this exact conversation yesterday. I'm excited that I have a hand in shaping the future of how we care for our patients. At my organization, I feel that what I'm working on right now will directly impact. I mean, we're working on a whole program for zero harm is what we're calling it, high reliability. And that's what my passion is, and I am excited to have a hand in what I hope would be a better care for our patients. That makes me get out of bed every day.
All right, wonderful. So, Eddie, what is the best piece of career advice that you've ever received?
Oh, yeah, you may laugh about this one or you may want the backstory about that one, but I always say the best piece of advice I ever received was do not put your opinions in writing.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm curious. What's the backstory?
Yeah, the, you know, young and dumb, I was in, you know, still in the manufacturing sector. It was, you know, I was frustrated and I wrote one of those emails you write when you're frustrated and you're not supposed to send, but then I sent it. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, any, you know, expletive filled email or anything like that. It was just showing my frustrations. And then, it was one of those things that you regret after you've done it. So if I have opinions, I either not share them if I'm not asked, or if I share them, I share them verbally. So there's no paper record.
All right. That's wonderful advice, especially, you know, in the social media age that we're in now, too.
Yes.
I see that.
Yes.
So, Eddie, do you have a mentor that has made an impact on your career?
I've had two great bosses that I consider shape my professional career. The first one was when I was, you know, at Honeywell. He was the one that basically put me on the road and supported me on the road to my lean certification, and always challenged me in great ways to grow in lean. And also the second one was the first boss I had in healthcare. I mean, he gave me the opportunity and believed in me, and we're great friends for life, what I hope. And I feel like I will forever be in his debt. He was a great boss also. And now, sadly, right now, I don't have a mentor. It's something I would, you know, I'm constantly looking for. I always want to, you know, be around people that challenge me and help me be better and overachieve. So, you know, that's why I enjoy our conversations, because I feel like you know, every time I talk to you, I grow. So.
No, I appreciate that, but trust me, it's mutual. So, Eddie, can you share a personal habit that contributes to your success with leading quality initiatives?
Listening, listening, and listening. It's one of those things that when I first started, it was hard because you kind of want to show that you know what you're talking about. So people are talking and you always want to throw out a suggestion or something like that. So I would say over the last 10 years, I've made it a conscious effort to the point that I think it's a lot easier for me to do it now, but it's just listening and listening, truly listening. So when I'm out, like I told you, when I'm out at the Gemba or leading teams, if I have a question or if they are telling me something, I really listen.
Can you please share a internet resource that helps you to be the most productive?
Right off, I mean, off the top of my head, I think YouTube. There's so much content on YouTube, and I'm always, you know, looking for some videos like Toyota Kata or things like that. And lately, you know, I've probably jumped on this bandwagon late, but over the last few months, I've become an Audible fan. So I love having, you know, audiobooks on Audible that I can listen to anywhere I go. And I have a long drive every day, so that's become really, really, it helps me be productive because I'm going through books a lot quicker than I could before. So.
Oh, man, I have been on Audible for at least about 6 or 7 years now, and I have an entire library that I can share with you whenever you're ready.
I'll bet, man. I'm telling you, I jumped late, but it's a great resource.
Absolutely. Well, and that leads us to the next question here. Could you recommend one book to our listeners that you think would be beneficial and share why you think it would be beneficial?
Oh, man, just one? I mean, if we're thinking, so if you're one of the first books I read when I was trying to get into healthcare and learning all about how to apply lean healthcare and stuff like that was Lean Hospitals by Mark Graven, and you know we both know Mark, and he's one of my favorite authors and speakers. So that book I think is really really thorough, you know if the audience hasn't read it, then I definitely suggest it. And then maybe a bonus one, Good to Great. I love that book.
All right. Eddie, can you please share with our quality people one professional association and one professional conference that you think would be a value add?
Right. Well, this is easy. Professional association, the Society for Healthcare Systems, SHS. You and I are both part of that. You and I are both very involved with that society, and the reason we are, and I know the reason I am, is because of the value it has brought to my career and the great people that form part of that society. So it's definitely a great society. And the conference, you know, it's the SHS conference, otherwise known as the Healthcare Systems Process Improvement Conference. So this year is in San Antonio. I'm not sure when the show is going to come out, but if it is before, hopefully see a lot of the people there. If it is after, maybe we met some of them. I know I will see you there. I'm excited about that. So.
Absolutely. I actually just bought my ticket maybe two nights ago, so I am all set for San Antonio. Let me ask, do we know where next year's conference will be, just in case the show comes out after this year's conference? Have you selected a new location?
It's not ready to be shared yet. So
okay,
you
fair
have
enough.
To wait.
All right, we'll definitely plug the show a little later. Plug the conference, I mean, a little later as well.
All right.
Perfect. Eddie, you have run the gamut. I have one last question, but this is hands down a personal favorite because I am going to get you to simultaneously reflect on your past while getting you to also look forward to your future. So let's say you were able to send one text message to yourself 10 years into the past, and one text message to yourself 10 years into the future. Take a few seconds to think about it, but what would you communicate to yourself in each one of those messages?
That's pretty cool. I like how you did that there. I love the idea, by the way. Okay, so 10 years ago, funny thing is I wasn't in healthcare 10 years ago, so I think the one thing I would probably text myself would be, learn about combining lean and innovation, because I love that, and I love I would have started 10 years ago on that road, and going to healthcare now would have been what I said to myself at that point.
Mm-hmm.
To me, text 10 years in the future, I think the text would be a question, and the question would be, what have you learned in the past 10 years?
All right, Eddie, guess what, man? You did it. You made it through today's show. But before I let you go, I would love for you to give our quality people a parting piece of advice and maybe share the best way that they can follow or connect with you on social media, and then we'll sign off.
Parting piece of advice, never give up. Our patients and loved ones are counting on us. And if you need some inspiration or some, for a bad day, I always think about my parents or my loved ones, or even the fact that we are going to be consumers, if we are not already, of this healthcare system. So it behooves us to make it better. So never give up. That's definitely my best piece of advice I can give anybody. Social media. Well, I'm on LinkedIn, Eddie Perez Ruberte. There's a hyphen there, and I know you're going to have this on the show. And then on Twitter, @ E. Perez Ruberte. That is EPEREZRUBERTE.
Thank you again, man. You did a great job. I think you dropped some very valuable knowledge throughout this entire show. I know we'll see each other in a few weeks, but thank you again for coming on. I know our listeners are going to value what they hear from you.
Listen, Jarvis, it's an honor. I am. I told you this. I'm humbled that you invited me to the show, and anything I can do for our industry and for you, I will always be up for that. So I am honored and humbled, and I really appreciate the invite, and I thank you.
No, same here, man. Same here. I'll talk to you soon, Eddie.
Thank you.
Quality people, thank you so much again for plugging in with today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please feel free to share it using the social media link posted in the notes below. I'd also be very grateful if you could subscribe, give us a rating, and also share feedback on what additional value we can bring to you through this podcast. That helps a lot with our show rankings and also with getting this great content out to healthcare leaders around the world. And if you want to engage with me directly, then please connect with me on LinkedIn, where I share additional resources, access to our QI community, and much more. All right, quality people, thank you again, and I'll see you back here next week when I introduce you to another quality guest.